Just penalties and more questions about Saturday night between Tennessee and Ole Miss. The latest and everything on the fallout on the Rebels 31-26 victory over the Volunteers. We begin now your Tuesday TSL 601 from the Budweiser Studios. Tyler and Will, keep your radios clear. Let's get it.
Live, local, and on your radio from the Budweiser Studios of Cumulus Media Knoxville. This show belongs to you at 656-9900. 656-9900. The sports you need before sunrise is on the air. You're inside the starting lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West. On 99.1, the sports animal.
Woke up this morning to tweets from a lot of our listeners. Good call on that Titans-Bills game last night there, Tyler Ivins. Hey, you know what, Kaner? Look at me through the glass right now.
I told
now.
You, it's all coming up, Kaner.
I want us to make eye contact right now, Kaner. Hell of a win for your boys last night.
It was.
Hell of a win for your boys last night. At home last night. You guys not only covered the first half spread, which was dominated by Buffalo throughout their first five games, but then you guys went in and said, you know what? We're going to keep running Derrick Henry until his legs fall off, and you guys aren't going to stop him. Three touchdowns later, 34-31, Titans over the Bills. We'll get into NFL talk coming up during the program today. We'll also get into everything that was about the officials and if they played a role in Tennessee not winning that game. Listen, yes, the answer is, but was it at the end of the day the reason why Tennessee didn't beat Ole Miss? We'll get into that. But, Will, yesterday you got a cool quarter of a million? Because if you don't, then you're not going to be helping Tennessee pay a fine that was handed out yesterday by Greg Sankey and the SEC. Good morning,
dude. Yeah, look, it was literally exactly what we all said was going to happen yesterday is what happened. So not to pat ourselves in the back or anything, but I think, well, mostly because it was obvious we're not smart. It's $250,000 fine. I didn't think the fine might be heavier than that. I thought it might go up to a $500,000.
So did I.
But otherwise, it's... Look, we're going to review the video and try to find out if we could see anybody on video. They're going to have to change alcohol sales or adjust that a little bit. And you get a fine, and by Tuesday morning, it's a meme. Well, here we are Tuesday morning. It's a meme. Mm-hmm. And you got a fine, and they're going to adjust alcohol sales. And that's pretty much what it is at the end of the day. There's no scarlet tee that Tennessee has to wear the rest of their lives because of this, no matter how much pearl clutching was done about everything that happened, no matter how much as it was just wrong for people to have done that. It's over. It's fine. I mean, it's not great, but it's over at the end of the day.
Just first question out of the gate. What exactly does adjusting alcohol sales mean? Are we going from 32-ounce cans down to 12-ounce cans? I mean, are we going to 20? I mean, this was just last week that Danny White answered the cry from the fan base and said, look, we need more beer lines. Or we got to have more opportunity to grab beer because the beer lines are getting too long, so they added more vendors to it. Do you just, you know... Smaller. I know you can only take two at a time right now, but these are the jumbo babies that you're taking anyway. Yeah, they're 24 bucks a piece or whatever the heck they are down there. I've never shopped for a beer at the stadium.
From what I understand, it's just 40-ounce bottles. So of Old English, that's the old. I'm just kidding. That's not happening.
Kaner, you ever had a bottle of Old English in your hand?
You ever have a little A-ball?
Kaner seems like he was a total Edwards 40 hands.
I have had those. I've not had Old English.
Okay. No. Would you have a 40 of?
Well, that's what number 40 hands is. It's just you having your hands taped with 40s in your hand.
Yeah, it was Hurricane.
Okay. Hurricane.
Oh. The old 2 for 4 at the old.
No wonder that beard isn't patchy. You essentially had shoe polish.
Also, Kater, seriously, I would drink hard seltzer as well if I got Edward 40 hands on some Hurricane, buddy.
Quarter of a mil. Doesn't look like there's going to be anything punishment on top of that. Got hit in the pocket a little bit.
It's fine.
Somebody told me last night on Twitter, you know, Ivins, if we just paid $2 and some odd cents a person, we could cover this fine for the university. Okay, well, step on up if you don't already make your donations. I don't know what more to tell you. Remember, Tennessee doesn't come back home until that November 13th game against Georgia. It's in Tuscaloosa this week, bye week in Lexington. So I'm actually kind of anxious to see how the beer sales will be adjusted before the Georgia game.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm assuming is some, instead of the end of the third, is that when they do it right now? Middle of the third, something like that is when they do it, in case the end of the game doesn't go well. You got everybody a little bit of time to adjust.
Come on,
adjust.
Man, I was in line with their 8 minutes to go. Wink, wink.
It'll be something like that, or they'll go with smaller cans, one or the other. So it's fine. And again, this is exactly what we thought that it was. Like, Tennessee fans, I know you got crushed on Saturday night, but I just look at, and am I wrong to look at this? I look at this the same way people do Philly fan. It'll be a joke that people make about you for the next, I have no idea how long. Philly fan's not the only one who's cheered when a guy got injured, but Philly fan gets crushed for it.
Right.
Philly fan's not the only one to throw snowballs at somebody that was on the field, but Philly fan gets ripped for it. Tennessee's not the only place that threw things on the field, but Tennessee's going to get ripped for it because you did it at a larger level. So it's all, look, at the end of the day, it's not going to be a big deal. It's just going to be a meme after today. It is a meme at this point. Frankly, it was last night. So, but Tennessee's got to make sure it doesn't happen again. They're going to have to pay the fine. They're going to have to adjust alcohol sales to some extent. It'll be all right.
I think the one thing that will be taken away the most when it comes to mocking Tennessee, or what will be remembered the most from this Lane Kiffin return to Knoxville as a head coach. So what are the fan bases going to do first if game day ever is featured between Tennessee and an opponent? Will it just be a giant mustard bottle? Will it just be a golf ball? Will somebody dress up as a golfer? That's what it's going to end up
being. Exactly. This is a meme now, right?
This is what it's going to be. This is exactly what it's going to be. And yesterday, my Facebook timeline, which rarely on it, but when I am, homeboy, there were mustard memes everywhere.
I saw you sharing fake political things from patriotlover.org.
Follow me for more of the latest when it comes to the truth of the world today.
Yeah, that's
Look
right.
Look at you. You caught me.
Wake up, sheeple.
That's exactly what it was. Would you say that right now that Tennessee, there was no max that could come of this, there was no minimum that came of this, but did the punishment fit the crime, essentially, is what I'm getting at?
I think I think this
and
is
careful when I say crime, because then some people think that crimes were committed. I think you guys get what I'm saying.
People going at us on social media again after the show. Look, I don't think this is what it should be. It's not like Tennessee's done this a bunch, right? It's not like Tennessee's, I hate to say it, it's not like Tennessee's out like, I mean, like we had the Alabama fans that killed each other over a game a week ago. It's not like that's what happened here, right? And from what I can understand, nobody got injured, which is good. And not great that Smokey and the cheerleaders are getting pelted, but what do you do? This isn't the end of the world. It's not great. They got to make sure it doesn't happen again. Greg Sankey's got to make sure Tennessee is doing everything they can to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Exactly.
And then you pay your fine. You take your, I don't know. To me, this is like back in the day when my dad, I'd rather take the spanking than get grounded, so it's just over.
Oh,
Tennessee's got to take a spanking right now. So Tennessee's taking their spanking for what happened on Saturday. It's not the end of the world. You'll live. You'll move on from this. And it'll be a joke that you'll have to deal with for at least this season and then periodically throughout the next couple. Somebody else will do something just as dumb, and it'll be over as well. And this is what the end result of this is going to be. So this is why the pearl clutching I didn't get. And but at the same time, people act like it's nothing. It's not nothing, but it's not at the end of the world at the same time.
There was some good news that did come out of yesterday quickly. Hendon Hooker's update from Josh Heupel at noon. It is not believed to be a season-ending or long-term injury. Now, granted, it was, quote, day-to-day as Cade Mays and Tyon Evans is. Josh Heupel said that he's not guaranteeing that it's not one or the other, but how progression will be over the next couple of days.
Yeah, I was
and what I say to that is, aren't we all day-to-day?
Yeah, well, so here's the thing, and I really like Josh Heupel.
Yeah.
And frankly, I like that he's not the kind of guy that wants to, like my mom, I talked to mom last night, and she was like, because my mom's got like 3 degrees in university, and she's like, why don't they show Josh Heupel on the sideline? They showed Lane Kiffin on the sideline 100 times. I didn't see Josh Heupel on there one time. I was like, because he's the kind of guy that doesn't try to go get that attention like that,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Which is why I like him. He just goes and coaches ball. Let's win games. And he's not trying to be a character. He's not trying to be a brand. He's not trying to do any of that. He's just trying to go coach football and be awesome at it.
Right.
So I love this about Heupel, but the one thing that I would say, let's just be honest. We have learned at this point, if Josh Heupel says somebody's hurt or not hurt, we'll find out on Saturday.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, that's what it is. And it's gamesmanship, and it's so the opposing team doesn't know what to prepare for. That's fine. I get it. But if Josh Heupel tells me Hendon Hooker's playing, I'll believe Hendon Hooker's playing when I see him on Saturday. I was told knee. That's what I was told. I was told they don't think it's season ending. That's all I was told.
I'm not a
but
doctor.
But that's a think, not a no.
Did it look? I hate playing the medical doctor through television or 100 feet up in the
and
air.
Also, not trying to burn sources in the process of it at the same time. So I'm trying to like talk vaguely about it.
He ain't playing against Bama. You're lucky you got a bye week coming up. Open date, whatever you want to refer to it as before I get the email from the same guy every year.
Yeah.
You hope maybe he's ready for Kentucky. And if it's not Kentucky, do you really want to put him back out there his first game back against the number one defense in the country? I think he's gone a month.
You think so?
I think he's back USA.
I could see that if he's back. And again, I don't think it's off the table that he's back. But if they got better information yesterday afternoon, because I got this yesterday morning.
Yep.
So if they got better information yesterday afternoon, maybe he is back at that timeline. So it's we'll see what happens. My expectation is this. He's not going to play this week. That's what my expectation is.
I think you can go ahead and list Hendon Hooker as highly doubtful for the game against Alabama.
So what do you do at that point?
Harrison Bailey better be taking snaps number one.
Is it Harrison Bailey or is it Milton?
He better be taking snaps number one.
I mean, there's the emotional side of having watched what I watched Joe Milton do at the end of that game that makes you think, I don't ever want to see that dude on the field again, right? On the other side, with this offensive line, you need a quarterback that can tuck it and go. And Bailey can tuck it and go, just not to the extent that Hooker can, and not even to the extent that Milton can. So he can do it, but if Milton's going to put it in the fourth row, fat lot of good that does you. The problem is Bailey's never looked like he's capable of playing at this level yet. Doesn't mean he can't get there, won't get there. If you gave him some first-team snaps, he couldn't look great. I guess outside of the spring game,
right?
He's never looked like he could play at this level yet. So I don't know what direction you're going to go with that. Also, I want to say this. We're up against it right now.
Yep.
Ivan's good on you for changing the subject because I was about to take us somewhere that you probably wouldn't have been happy with.
Hmm.
Which is, I want to know what your favorite meme was from the trash being thrown onto the field. That's the conversation I was trying to have this morning.
Taking a look at Eric Kane's breakdown that just came across our smartphones. We still have 11 more segments that something could happen to that nature. So stand by. 656-9900.
Somebody tagged me on, I don't know who it was, some Tennessee fan did a photoshopped French's mustard uniform yesterday with Tennessee.
No, they didn't.
And they tweeted, look good, feel good, play good. And that is my favorite meme of the entire thing, is that.
Okay, fine.
Joe Milton,
y'all tell us to stop throwing stuff.
Yeah, that one's fantastic as well. So that was the discussion I was trying to have this morning.
A buddy of mine sent me the Ole Miss logo changed up. Instead of Colonel Rabbit's, fainting goats. That's what was Tyler Ivins. Cater, what's your favorite meme? But hang on first. We need a Tennessee Lottery sports update. As he disappointedly shakes his head like a dad. You going to ground us next?
You did give us that dad energy.
Listen to him over here. He's got a 40 of Hurricane in his right hand. 99.1, the sports animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery sports minute.
Punishment's been handed down by the Southeastern Conference in Tennessee for the trash incident Saturday night that led to the 30-minute delay in game action. The league has fined the Vols $250,000 and mandated to use every available resource to identify those who threw trash. The Tennessee men's basketball team was tabbed to number 18 in the AP preseason top 25 poll. The Vols are one of five teams inside the rankings, five SEC teams inside the rankings, with Kentucky at 10, Alabama at 14, Arkansas at 16, and Auburn at 22. And the Tennessee Titans rallied to take down the Buffalo Bills 34-31 on Monday Night Football. Derrick Henry ran for 143 yards and three touchdowns in the win. Have a little fun with INSA Games. October INSA Games available now at any Tennessee Lottery retailer, with top prizes ranging anywhere from $5,000 up to $500,000. More Tennessee football talk on the other side. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
He refers to Dolly Parton as the one that got away. Tyler Ivins in the starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
A big hello and thank you to everybody joining us outside of the city of Knoxville, outside of Rocky Top on the stream at 991thesportsanimal.com. That's Will West, Tyler Ivins, Caners through the glass this morning here inside the Budweiser Studios.
The Dojo!
It is the Budweiser Dojo, copywritten by the starting lineup. Hey, I got to say something real quick. And
sure.
And I just got to know this right off the bat, okay? Will West, did the officials cost Tennessee that football game on Saturday night?
It is subjective.
I wanted everybody to have at least a day to think about it.
And here's the thing. We had a caller, Scott, because I mentioned that in passing. We had a caller, Scott, that called in, and he made a good point. It's fair to say that they didn't. I think they did. I absolutely think. Now, Tennessee had 100 other chances to win it, and so I don't like pointing the finger at the officials.
Sure.
But when you wipe a touchdown off the board, and here's what gets me. My problem's this. They lied about what they called on the field. Because Lane Kiffin was mad, and they didn't know what to do. They panicked because it was a weird situation, right? Mm-hmm. Matt Corral, I think the crowd was so loud, Matt Corral thought he heard a whistle and stopped. Tennessee took the ball from him and went. And Lane Kiffin started going off on him. And I think they bald-faced lied about what they called. The reason I think that is they all ran with everyone there. We all watched it. They all ran with Tyler Barron to the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody acted like the play was down whatsoever or made any gesture as if the play was down whatsoever.
Which, can I pause you right there? Good for them. How many times do you see officials immediately just like, okay, no, everybody stop. Somebody messed something up.
Yeah.
At least they let the play finish. When I saw them let the play finish, I thought, this is going to stand.
Also,
this is going to stand. There's no way they're going to go back and go, oh, no. There was a whistle or the player was ruled down or any. And they completely did that.
Yeah, they did it. And here's the thing.
And it turned into a bigger lie.
A lot of times, like when you're talking about a fumble that it's reviewable, so you let it go. No. This was not a reviewable situation of in the grass.
Exactly.
So they would not just let that play out the way they normally would. So maybe part of it is that I'm a little aghast that an SEC officiating crew would tell a bald-faced lie like that on the middle of the field on national television in front of 102,000 plus. But I do think they did. I don't think that you don't get the safety if they get let's go through the scenario there.
All right.
You don't get the safety if they have the touchdown, right?
Correct.
Cuz they're going to get the ball back out and make up to the 30, you know, 25, 35 yard line somewhere in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that if that touchdown happens, I think Tennessee wins that game. I do. Now, it's subjective, and if somebody's out there probably listening says, no, I don't think they do, and that would be completely fair. But I do think that was a difference in that game, that happening. I also think they missed a ton of other calls. I think that there were so many holding, and don't get me wrong, I know that there's holding on every play, but usually if you're grabbing the side of the shoulder and pulling forward,
there's something that indicates
they're pulling the flag.
A holding.
They did not call it all nine. And it was at a different level, and you know, and let's be honest, Tennessee's linemen couldn't get a hand on anybody to be able to hold him. So that wasn't helping anything. I absolutely think the officials cost Tennessee that game. And so I understand the frustration from Tennessee's fan base. Was it handled the right way? No. But I think that the officials cost Tennessee that football game.
Hey, Kaner, help a brother out one more time. The official number we came out with, I charted the first half. You brought the total. What was Matt Corral rushing third and fourth downs in that game Saturday evening?
Yeah, Matt Corral ran for first downs on either third or fourth down 7 times, 8 times, but one got called back for holding.
Boom. That's the reason why Tennessee did not beat Ole Miss on Saturday night, because they allowed Matt Corral, the likely runner-up in this year's Heisman Trophy voting, to run for darn near 200 yards. And he got majority of that work done on third and fourth downs when Ole Miss needed him the most. You know, we talked about it I wouldn't say nauseam yesterday, but you got the point across. They tried to spy him, and Jeremy Banks was not effectively running what he should as a spy in that position.
Or
he was playing into Ole Miss's hands.
Or he did it exactly, because Kaner said that's how he was coached to handle it, right, Eric?
Yeah, that's how I was coached.
At least keep him inside so another guy can help tackle him. It's like he was allowing him outside.
That might be an NFL level, next level way that you handle it, is to funnel everything in,
that blocker,
safety cleans
Kaner.
Up.
Well, I mean, in that situation, so look, you've got the defensive line going upfield. I mean, there's a parting of the Red Sea right there in the middle. And then Banks is sitting back here at linebacker, and he's all by himself.
Sure.
The center usually is the guy that was the lead block coming up and blocking you. Banks goes up and takes him on head on. That way he's got a two-way option. It's just a lot of the times he picked wrong, or he got blocked, or he just didn't make the play.
Is it easy as Corral?
The 300-pound man blocked the 240-pound man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what happened at the end of the day.
And at that point in time, it's just easy for Corral to go, I'm going to go opposite my center goes.
Exactly. Right. And okay. So from the way I looked at it, it looked like he played it well. Now, again, I'm not a coach. They could be teaching it differently. But it looked like he played it well. He just didn't make the play.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just don't make the play.
And sometimes Matt Corral's one of the two best players in college football, and he makes a play too.
Yeah, exactly. So, and again, you didn't make the play a lot, which is a problem.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how I viewed it.
So did you think the officials, and I will say this, I don't think it was Mississippi State, Memphis, where like the game was literally stolen from Mississippi State there, right? On two different occasions, bad calls literally took the game from them in the fourth quarter.
Correct.
I think this is more Georgia State Auburn, where I think the officials took the difference in the game. I don't know that they were. Did you think
I'll buy that.
If Tennessee gets that touchdown with Tyler Barron, does Tennessee win the game?
You know, I'm not ready to say that simply because it was so early in the game and there was so much left to be played. And even the way it played out, the touchdown comes off the board or whatever it was, there was still so much left to be played out. I understand that was the wrong call. Point blank, that was wrong.
I'll leave you with one here. What would you say most likely happens for a Tennessee victory? They leave the Tyler Barron fumble return touchdown on the board. Hendon Hooker doesn't get hurt on the final drive.
Hendon Hooker.
Well, I mean, Hendon gets hurt on the final drive, but you still had 2 shots at the end zone there.
You did.
So what is most likely to happen? Tennessee wins if, and you have to choose one of those. You know, let's just say that there is an answer that guarantees Tennessee a victory. We're doing the TSL hypothetical here. What would you say gives Tennessee a better chance of winning that game? The officials not taking the Tyler Barron touchdown off the board, or taking that off the board in turn, Hendon Hooker gets to stay healthy the entire time. It's the what if that Will brought up 2 to 3 weeks ago.
I guess it would be the Tyler Barron play, right? I mean, that's the way I view it. Because, again, I mean, Hendon gets hurt on the last drive. Tennessee still had two chances to win it. And
I know people are killing Joe Milton.
Came close that one play.
You backed me up yesterday, though. Cedric Tillman, I think, should have had that ball. Yeah. That was a good ball by Joe Milton before he chose to run out of bounds.
So if you place Hendon Hooker in that situation, he throws it up. I mean, is it completed? Does he get? I mean, we have no clue. I just think with that play, I think they flat out missed it. It was wrong, flat out, horrible, horrible. Yeah. I'm not willing to say that's the reason Tennessee lost the game, just because I guess I'm just like the caller yesterday, and I guess just the way I see it. I mean, there's so many other chances in a football game.
There absolutely were. And again, this wasn't the same as Mississippi State Memphis, where it's the fourth quarter, you kick it onside kick, it goes 11 yards, and they say, didn't go 10 yards. And we're like, and then they show the replay, and it clearly goes 11 yards, or a guy clearly downs a punt, and you decide not to do that. Yeah, this isn't that, but I did think it was, I personally think Tennessee wins the game if Tyler Barron gets that touchdown.
656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. But Hendon Hooker was injured on that final drive. And Hendon Hooker, it's a lower leg injury. Could it be the knee? Could it be the calf? What exactly are we dealing with here when it comes to Hendon Hooker? A lot of people wanting to know the status of Tennessee's starting quarterback. And if it is a doubtful start for Hendon Hooker Saturday in Tuscaloosa, who is getting those first team reps this week? We ask Kaner. We take a deeper dive, not only on Hendon Hooker, but also on Cade Mays as well as Tyon Evans. A lot of things to touch on the injury report at the University of Tennessee. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
We are counting it down. It's just
21 days until
it's basketball time in Tennessee.
This Sports Animal countdown to tip-off is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. People helping people since 1934.
Really? I think that's what that was. I don't know how you guys do that. I'm the guy that if that happened, I'd be the guy who called. Powder starts coming out. I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah.
So I take a pre-workout whenever I clean the house. I'm dead serious. Get that motivation going. I've done that when that happens.
Got Eric came through the glass this morning. That's Will West. Tyler Ivan, 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Lots to get to when it comes to Tennessee's injuries. Also, NFL talk last night. Titans, the huge victory over Buffalo, 34-31. Dave's been waiting patiently on the Stanley Fitz and Gates hotline. Hey, Dave, we appreciate it. We'll go ahead and squeeze you in quickly. What do you got, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, bud.
What I want to say about that touchdown they wiped off the field is that was a difference in the game, because I know, because I was sitting in front of that TV screaming at the TV, just one big play. Please, just one big play. And sure enough, we got that one big play. And Mississippi was moving the ball pretty good on us, but that's what we needed. And on top of that, didn't they go down and score like 3 points? So that put us in the hole even more.
Kaner, do you remember? You chart the thing. We look at Kaner because we're all just like watching the game, and Kaner's like charting. Like,
I just can't remember from that aspect.
So clinical.
You know what, Dave? This is what I'll say. I think if I remember correctly, you might be right that they got three out of that drive. If not, it later the next drive resulted in three, and Tennessee hadn't put up a point to match that yet. So the drive, if it wasn't the same drive, Dave, what it ended up doing was Ole Miss ended up getting three again before Tennessee put
Kaner
up.
Kaner getting his Jimmy Hyams notes out there.
Look, I know, at this, seriously, dude. You got like an encyclopedia of the Ole Miss game.
He's got a trapper keeper that he keeps all the games.
But
he
back
starts
to your point, Dave, you believe no matter how much of the game was still remaining that if that touchdown stands from Tyler Barron, Tennessee goes on to win this game.
The whole dynamic of the game changes. The offense and the defense would have had to play different.
Dave, we appreciate the phone call, 656-9900.
Yeah, and again, I'll say,
Tennessee punted that drive.
What did Ole Miss do?
So that was a turnover on downs. That was fourth down.
That was fourth down. You're right.
Yeah,
okay.
So there was a turnover on downs.
Tennessee punts and leaves it to them inside the five. They get the sack.
Who scored
they get the safety.
Yes, and then Tennessee scores a touchdown that next drive as well.
So safety plus touchdown that happened there. So 9-point swing.
They got nine. I mean, instead of getting seven, they got nine.
They did.
So I don't know. So, I don't know if I'm ready to say that.
I can't say I know that Tennessee wins that game.
Okay.
And so I was probably too ham-fisted with it yesterday. But I think Tennessee does win the game if they get that touchdown there, because I do think the dynamics of the game change a little bit and just add more points to the board, right?
This season is so promising. 4-2. You go into this matchup against Ole Miss. A lot of people are saying, man, this is crazy that Tennessee has an opportunity just right now to go into the second half of their season and possibly be 5-2 and be a top 25 team. Hendon Hooker's turned this team around. Well, now there's questions about if Hendon Hooker's is going to play after the bye week because he's not playing against Alabama. Let's just go ahead and just say this right now. Hendon Hooker, even though Josh Heupel says he's day-to-day, I saw that guy. I don't have a medical degree, but I can look at somebody and go, yeah, that guy's day-to-day. There's no way that guy is taking snaps. I would already have him listed as doubtful, if not out, against Alabama. And I'm not even sure if you're going to see the guy again this year. I'll wait to see him trot on the field number 5 before I say that. But when it comes to Alabama this week, it doesn't matter who your starting quarterback is, if it's Joe Milton or Harrison Bailey, because to me, you just faced who I believe is the second-best quarterback in the country. I think you're facing off against the likely Heisman Trophy winner this week, and I don't know if Tennessee's even going to be in this game.
My bigger concerns for the offensive line here, right? What happens with Cade? Because Ole Miss is. Here's the thing: Tennessee struggled to block until they were able to get Hendon Hooker in the running game, and you had to kind of pick your poison. That was with Ole Miss's defense, which is terrible. Alabama's defense is pretty good, so I just think that you're looking at death by a thousand cuts. You're just going to be a sieve, and you're just going to constantly just seep in defenders over and over and over and over and over again. But you mentioned it at the beginning of the segment. The season's been so promising. Mm-hmm. Tennessee's played so well, but there have been so many injuries. Do you remember a season seeing one team? You know, the one team I remember seeing deal with this many injuries was that 4-8. Will Muschamp Florida team.
Oh.
Otherwise, I don't remember ever seeing a team deal with this many injuries.
That's a good nugget.
And that team was terrible. Yeah. Tennessee's not terrible. Like worst case scenario, Tennessee's probably going 6-6. That's the worst case scenario right now.
Right.
So, and frankly, yeah, they were right there.
Ago, but more than a week ago, Will, we were talking about Kentucky's definitely back on the table. You can get Ole Miss this week.
But not getting Cooper back was a difference maker for what we were thinking at the time because of what Josh Heupel said.
Fair.
And Cade going down. And so those two things that you look at there that is a difference maker. At the end of the day, the team that wins the ball at the point of attack is usually the team that's going to win a football game. And Tennessee's been able to win without that being the case, but I don't know that moving forward in this stretch in October, if you're going to be able to do that.
656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Joel's been waiting patiently. Joel, good morning. What do you got?
Hey there, guys. I was wondering if it had been discussed about, you mentioned the Cade Mays injury there, and has it been discussed that play that he got hurt on was a mute play that does not even count because they went back and reviewed the previous play after that play had already taken
been
place.
Snapped. Yeah, it was absolutely. And it's just, and I'll say this, it's just one in a million, you know what I mean? Like bad luck play at the end of the day. I'm not going to kill the officials for that necessarily, but I do think that, yeah, it is not awesome that was the case. And it's wild to see. No, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Like you just said, you know, whatever that happens. It went the opposite way later in the game. We had them stopped on the 4th-and-1 celebration in the stands. And then, let's go back and review the 3rd-down play. After that play had already ran and we stopped them and somebody else could have gotten hurt, let's go ahead and stop that play now, even though it's already taken place, and go back and see that, no, sorry, they got the 1st down on 3rd down. So that 4th-and-1 was just, again, a play that should not have taken place.
No, you're right. And I'll say this. End of the day, it's bad luck because once they send that signal down and we're reviewing it, you're going to have to try to blow the whistle as fast as possible. My Lord. And it's tough when they're snapping the ball with 29, 30 seconds left of the play clock. It's tough to get the play, get to say, hey, okay, yes, let's review this and get that signal down as that quickly.
Typically, it's the offense wanting to hurry up and snap it so you can't review it because they already got the spot or they already got the catch or whatever that's in question.
The result is in their favor.
Yeah, this was Tennessee snapping the ball just to, again, go tempo and try to catch them off guard.
Yeah.
So it's usually the other way around, but it's kind of weird how that played out. But
are you giving the officials the benefit of the doubt here?
No, I'm just saying normally it's the other way
around.
I
know you're not. I'm just saying you're trying to find a way to throw the gavel down here on Devil's Advocate.
But to Joel's credit, or to Joel's point, I mean, it just sucks that Cade Mays got injured on that play. It's just awful.
That's the play that you lose Cade Mays on potentially for the Alabama game.
Yeah.
So. And to Will's point, this team already down scholarship numbers. This team already down when it comes to everything that is hovering around them because of the NCAA investigation from the previous regime. And they're still go out there throwing haymakers with heavyweights, and they're darn near winning football games. That's the unbelievable part.
Yeah, and again, no moral victories if Bucks candy nuts. But gracious, the fact that they're playing this well with this many guys hurt, where would Tennessee be right now if they're healthy?
I don't want to play this game because it'll just piss me off. That's Will West, Tyler Ivan, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Love it or leave it to wrap up the opening hour, plus NFL talk, and what does Tennessee do if the injuries do continue to pile on? Yeah, it's not the third week in October, but you know what? We can continue to talk about the fourth Saturday in October. Crazy months, rivalries with Alabama. We'll dive into it. 99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal. Kaner, what do you got?
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
The SEC has fined Tennessee $250,000 for the trash incident Saturday night that led to a near 30-minute delay within the Tennessee and Ole Miss game. The men's basketball team was tabbed to number 18 in the AP preseason top 25 poll. The Vols are one of five SEC teams inside the rankings. Kentucky at 10, Alabama 14, Arkansas at 16, and Auburn at number 22. The Titans rallied to take down the Bills 34-31 on Monday Night Football. Derrick Henry ran for 143 yards and three touchdowns. And the Red Sox took a 2-1 lead in the ALCS over Houston 12-3, beat down at Fenway on Monday night. Kyle Schwarber, a grand slam in the win. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $6 billion to support educational programs in Tennessee. To learn more, visit tnlottery.com. 6:44, we'll have Love or Leave It on the other side. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
All right, 6:50. Tennessee and the probability with Hendon Hooker out and Joe Milton or one of Harrison Bailey in at center against Alabama this weekend. I mean, look, I don't know where you stood on Tennessee beating Alabama if Hendon Hooker was 100% healthy, but where do you stand now knowing that it's going to be one of Milton or Bailey? That's how we kick off hour number two of the program. Before we get there, though, boys, Kaner, if you would please, big red button time for Tuesday. This is Love It or Leave It.
Josh Heupel told the media on Monday that he felt Hendon Hooker's injury was not long-term. Love It or Leave It, we'll see number five again this year.
I hope I'm wrong about this. I'm going to leave it. I think Hendon Hooker's done for the year. If it is a knee injury, which it seems like it is, you've got the open date still to come. But, man, I'm going to tell you, depending on how serious it is, he wasn't putting any kind of weight on it leaving the field. My understanding was he wasn't putting any weight on it at the locker room after the game was over or on Sunday. Now, whenever you get the swelling down, you go under an x-ray, take an MRI, maybe things change. Like he said yesterday, perhaps maybe things improve when he gets into a rehab stint. Right now, I'm going to say no, but I want to be optimistic, and I hope that I'm wrong.
I will love this. If they say it's not long-term, right now I'll take their word for it that he'll be back at some point in time before the end of the season.
The SEC handed out a $250,000 fine for the 20-minute delay that was caused by fans tossing debris onto the field. Love or leave it, the punishment fits the crime.
I know. I love this. This is about what this is the low end of what we thought. It's not like Tennessee's been a prior offender before, so I love this. At the end of the day, I do think that the expectation was a fine was coming. The expectation was that they would have to adjust alcohol sales a little bit, and then they get a, hey, don't do it again. Don't let it happen again. And if it happens again, then it'll get ugly. But it's probably not going to happen again. I don't think it'll get ugly. But Tennessee had to have something. The SEC had to do something. So I do think this is the right way to go about it.
Really thought a half mil was coming. Quarter of a mil works for me. Move on. Yeah, love this.
With the firing of Ed Orgeron, many have now focused the hot seat conversation to Florida's Dan Mullen. Love it or leave it, the Gators coach should be concerned about his job.
Am I the only one here who thinks that this is complete rubbish?
Yeah, I think it's stupid.
I think it's complete rubbish.
Dumb, yeah. Yeah, I think it's dirt dumb.
Yeah.
You were like a touchdown away from winning the SEC championship last year.
Right.
And you were right there with a team in Alabama that was supposed to be a lot better than you.
I leave this. I think we've already made our case on this one.
No, I leave this as well. Here's the thing. He needs to stop trying to make these quarterbacks pocket passers, and I have no idea why he's doing that.
You're not wrong.
Completely mismanaging that situation this year.
He has never done this in his entire career. Remember, was it Nick Fitzgerald? He just, okay, he's going to run the ball 15 times, he's going to throw the ball 20 times. No. That's what these two quarterbacks are. And I don't know why, like, dead serious, if he goes back to doing what he did in the second half against Bama and what he did against Tennessee, they beat Kentucky, they beat LSU point blank. And you're sitting there looking at a Florida team that we're saying, you were a two-point conversion away from beating Alabama.
Exactly.
Maybe you're in the college football playoff conversation.
Exactly.
If you can get past Georgia. But we're not. Instead, they're talking about Dan Mullen on the hot seat, which is reactionary. But he does need to quit mismanaging this.
All right, so let me ask you quickly, pause. If it isn't Dan Mullen, who needs to be kept an eye on when it comes to job security? In the SEC.
Nobody right now.
Not even Mike Leach at Mississippi State?
No.
We're not there yet?
No, it's also Mississippi State again.
We're not there yet?
No, I mean, again, before Dan Mullen came, they had never been to a bowl game 3 years in a row.
Okay.
Also, you had to clean up, like, that culturally what Joe Moore had left was so unbelievably terrible.
Okay.
The men's basketball preseason AP poll was released on Tuesday with the Vols coming in at number 18. Love or leave it, Tennessee's ranking heading into the season.
I love this. This is about right. Okay. Somewhere in the neighborhood of where it should be. I thought Tennessee should have been a top 20 team. You could have put them in the top 15, but maybe. But that's an you could have, not that you had to.
Okay.
So I love this. This is in the ballpark of right.
You know what? I wanted to see a top 15, but who am I going to nitpick over three spots in the preseason? You know what I mean? I'm not going to be that guy. 18's fine with me if we're baby bear porridge in it.
So usually you are that guy. So it's
I'm not going to wear that hat today.
Seahawks coach Pete Carroll mentioned Cam Newton's name as a possibility when discussing the future of the quarterback position while Russell Wilson recovers from finger surgery. Love or leave it, the former MVP signing with Seattle.
You know what? This ain't crazy. If there's anybody who I think that can really like navigate the waters of let's try to keep everybody's ego in check, it's Pete Carroll. I know I'm saying that right after him and Russell had a little bit of a dust-up in the offseason. I'm going to love this. I knew Cam Newton was going to sign somewhere, but I had him in a Houston. Is Cleveland now a spot if Baker Mayfield's out an extended period of time? Cam Newton's going to take a snap this year, but I like Seattle, the idea of Seattle, more than I do Cleveland or a Miami, so I love this.
What's he worse than Geno? No, he's not, right? So you might as well try it. I love this as well. What about Colin Kaepernick?
Look, I'm going to tell you where I stand on the Seattle situation,
if Colin Kaepernick wanted to play football, he'd have been playing football. He doesn't want to play football.
I just want Seattle to keep losing games. Jets own that first-round pick this year. Just keep tanking, baby. Don't sign anybody. Keep running Geno out there and let him just run that team into the ground, please.
Does this not feel like Peyton in Indianapolis a little bit with Seattle right now? And that we're finding out that they've got nothing. It was just Russell Wilson and a receiver, and that's all they have.
Now, hang on. They almost beat Pittsburgh.
They can come back and almost beat Pittsburgh. You're right.
I'm just saying.
But they can't block.
But, I mean, let's be honest here. How good is Pittsburgh?
They're not great.
Fair. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Speaking of injury updates, I know we're supposed to be keeping an eye on what's happening here in Knoxville with injury updates. Somebody popped up on the injury report yesterday around the SEC. Did you guys see this?
Matt Corral. Yeah.
Matt Corral popped up on the injury report before their matchup against Ed Orgeron and LSU. So Tennessee laid a licking on the guy who ran the football for 195 yards.
And didn't slide.
He was taking those hits. He wanted the smoke.
Yeah, he did.
That's a guy who's not scared of taking a hit as much as you and I point out. Who does want the smoke and not want the smoke, Will West? Yeah, Matt Corral?
He wants the smoke.
He was feeling it.
He needs to not want the smoke, but he wants the smoke.
New Balance Knoxville. Big thank you to Sharon and the staff. Each and every time we need to get fitted, every time we want the perfect fit, it happens right next to Suburban Shopping Center next to Barnes & Noble is what I'm trying to say.
That's right. New Balance Knoxville, the perfect fit every time. Wide sizes. Extra wide sizes like I need. They have those. You can do a fit test there. You will be floored to see the difference in the size shoe you should be wearing versus the one that you're wearing right now. The reason I train in New Balance Minimus, they literally last twice as long as any other brand. You're always buying local when you buy New Balance Knoxville.